right, let's look back there to Isaiah 42. Promises, promises, promises. That's what we say when somebody will say they're going to do something. We'll joke with them, you know, and say, promises, promises, promises. During election time, we hear lots of promises. Lots of promises. When men promise, it doesn't always come to pass. That's not so with God. When He promises, He not only promises what shall come to pass, it shall come to pass because He brings it to pass. And He doesn't depend upon you and I to bring it to pass. He brings it to pass. And so, whatever God promises, and that's what salvation is. Salvation is by promise. The problem with unbelief is just that. It's not believing God's promise. What God has promised. Now, last week we heard the Lord God's command to us to behold Christ in verses 1 through 4 of Isaiah 42. Today we're going to hear the Lord God call His Son in righteousness and send Him on His great mission of mercy. I want to look at five things here. The calling of Christ in righteousness. Secondly, Jesus Christ, the covenant given. Thirdly, the sure results of His grace. Fourthly, why God saves this way. And then fifthly, how can we be sure? Christ was called by the Lord in covenant righteousness. Now, we're talking about covenant today. That's what promise is. A covenant is an agreement between two or more parties. In this case, it's between two parties. And there are certain promises made and there are certain obligations that have to be fulfilled in order for each to get what they agreed upon. Now, God made a promise, a covenant with Adam, who is the federal head of all mankind. And Adam broke his side of the covenant. And when either side of a covenant's broken, all the covenant's broken. Everything is forgotten. It's over with then. There's no obligation from the other party to fulfill the promises He made. But God made this covenant with His Son, Christ Jesus, before that covenant with Adam was ever broken. And this is what we have before us. In verses 1 through 4, the Lord had said, "Behold, My servant, whom I uphold." This is Christ whom I'm setting forth, My servant. He's Mine elect whom I've chosen. Now today He's talking to Christ Jesus, and this is what God says. I want you to see this. This is where we begin. Even the covenant that was made with Christ and the covenant with which the Son of God made with the Father, this covenant was made in righteousness. It was made in pure truth. Called in righteousness. Look at verse 5. "Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. God is the Lord that created the heavens and stretched them out." All the planets and all the solar system and He stretched all that out. He made it. "God is the Lord that spread forth the earth and everything that comes of it." He made it. "God is the Lord that gives breath unto the people that live on the earth and spirit to them that walk therein." He did it. He says, "Thus saith God the Lord," this God who made all these things. Verse 6, "I the Lord have called thee in righteousness." This is God who can swear by no greater, swearing by Himself to Himself, that is to the Son of God, Christ Jesus. This is God the Father making covenant with God the Son. And he said, I've called thee the sole privilege, the sole right given to establish and mediate all the covenant promises of God to his people was given to Christ alone. He said, I, God the Lord, have called thee, he said. One of the reasons why this was right for God to call his Son to do this is because God tells us plainly down in verse 8, I am the Lord. That's my name. My glory will I not give to another. This glory of saving his people is given to his Son alone. This was right for God to call him, lawful for God to call him, faithful for God to call him to this work, because he alone is the one to whom God would give this glory. And then God called his Son in faithfulness. This word righteousness means faithfulness. It means right. I've called thee in righteousness. You notice here when he called him, he makes some promises to the Lord. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee. That's what he means. When you're reading the scriptures, when you read a text, a verse like, I will hold thine hand, and you wonder, what does that mean? Read the next phrase. And will keep thee. And give thee. We behold the righteousness of God's faithfulness in his covenant promise. When we behold that everything he promised his Son before the world ever began, when his Son came into this earth, God the Father did everything that he promised his Son he would do, because he called him in righteousness. God's faithful, he's right, and he will perform everything that he promises to perform. Now, I want you to think about this, how the Lord says that I've called thee in righteousness. He starts out and he says that he is the Lord who created everything. He says, thus saith God the Lord. This is God. You can picture a man standing and he's holding up his hand and he says, I, Clay Curtis. And God says, I, thus saith God the Lord, that created the heavens and stretched them out, that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out it, he that giveth breath unto the people on it, spirit to them that walk therein. Now you think God is declaring his faithfulness, he's declaring his righteousness, he's swearing by his own name, by his own power, by who he is, that all that he's promised his Son shall be performed in righteousness. And he's showing us that everything he does is done in righteousness. Righteousness is a big word for right. It means what God does is true. What God does is right. What God does is just. What God does is the way that is truthful in accordance with his holy character. Now, you think about all these things that God said he created. He made the heavens and everything that's in it. Do they work the laws of nature? He made the earth and everything in it. He made the human body. He gives breath to it, spirit to it. Do these things work, and are they held in place, and do they go about, does the all the rotation of the planets, and does the law of gravity, and of all the laws of physics, and the laws of the human body? He gives life, you have it. He takes it, you don't have it. Gravity, it works. It holds you down. Inertia works. Pushes you out. Because God did it. And his laws don't work partially and halfway and maybe this way and maybe that way. They work exactly like God made them to work, because he said, let it be so, and it is. Well, everything that God does in salvation is done the same way. God does all in righteousness. He does all in truth. He does all in judgment. He brings all to pass effectually. He doesn't do it in ambiguity. He doesn't do it in yes and no and maybes. But he does it in yes and amen because God is righteous. And God is all powerful to do it. He's all powerful. This one that created heavens and earth and men and gives life and upholds all things by the word of his power. This one does save his people just like he saves his people in this word because he's of power to save his people just like he says he does it in his word. He wouldn't have written it if he wasn't righteous to do it just like he says he will do it. He says he saves. He says Christ is going to come forth and he's going to magnify and honor my law. It had to be so because God cannot justify anybody without his law being magnified and honored. It's going to be upheld. And Christ came forth and did that. He says it pleased him to save by the foolishness of preaching. It's a foolish thing. I know that men all over this world think and make fun of preaching and preachers and think that's the most ridiculous thing. Why in the world y'all going to hear a preacher? Well, God said, I'll give you pastors after mine own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. The will of man, preaching the will of man, that's not after God's own heart. Preaching universal atonement, that's not after God's own heart. Because that's not how God saves sinners. God gives pastors according to his own heart. Not because he has to save this way, because he's pleased him to, and he's of power to do it. He does everything in truth and judgment. He regenerates to life everybody that he chose and put in Christ and that Christ redeemed because it's right for him to do it. His justice demands they be brought to spiritual life. So he does that for them. He gives an unction to the believer so that we know all things. Listen to this passage in 1 John chapter 2. Listen to this. Verse 27. I'm going to start in the middle of the passage. As the verse. As the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. This is the God of truth. This is the God of judgment. This is the God who is able from the youngest to the oldest to teach us from the very beginning salvation's of the Lord, salvation's by his grace, salvation is apart from any works or will or addition of man's flesh. A man may be weak in faith and he may think that he's going to eat and drink and do these different things, but he that does it in faith is doing it to the Lord. He's doing it because it's honoring to the Lord in his heart. But he doesn't know he doesn't have to do those things, that the kingdom of God's not meat and drink. But he still knows that his Lord is all his salvation. He knows that all salvation is by grace. He knows that all salvation is in Christ Jesus. He knows that he's complete in him. He's just doing what he's doing because he thinks this is more honoring to God to do it that way. Every believer worships God in spirit and in truth because it's God who creates spiritual life and teaches his children himself. And this same God, this omnipotent God who's able to create heaven and earth, he's able to set judgment in the earth. He called his son in righteousness. That's how he's going to call his people, in righteousness. He was able to set judgment in the earth by his son in righteousness. And he's able to set judgment in the heart of his people in righteousness. This same God who made heaven and earth. Oh, we do well to listen. We're standing on his earth. We're breathing his air. We look at his stars at night. And everything is held in place by him. We do well to listen to how he saves sinners and not listen to fables of men. Christ calls in righteousness. He fulfills his promises in righteousness. Now here's the second thing. Christ is the covenant that's given of God. He is the covenant. There are many names to convey to the believer who Christ is. Look at John. Look at John. Lots of names to convey to God's elect who Christ is. His name shall be Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why his name's that. It means Savior. He shall save his people from their sin. In John 1:29, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. And he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He is that Lamb promised that takes away the sin of the world. His people, Jew and Gentile. Look at John chapter 6. Look at verse 35. Christ said, I am the bread of life. We all know what bread does, don't we? Fills you up, gives you life, sustains you, makes you live. I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Look at John 10, verse 11. These are names by which we is communicated to us who Christ is. John 10, 11. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life. John 10, 7. He said, I am the door of the sheep. We know what a door is, don't we? You can go in and out a door. Just simple language to where we know. Verse 9, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. There in verse 11, he said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, he said, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. In John 11:25, he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that? Do you believe this? Believe him? He's the resurrection. He's the resurrection. Look at John 14:6. He said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. And I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, he said. In our text in Isaiah 42, God the Lord says, He's my servant. And he said, He's mine elect, whom I've chosen. But here in our text, Christ is called something else. It says there in verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people. Christ is the covenant of the people, the light of the Gentiles. How are we going to know the promise that God has made? We're going to see Christ. Christ is going to be formed in our hearts. That's when God writes His law on the inward parts. When Christ is formed in you, that's when you have the hope of glory. Because His glory has shined in. And we have this promise so that we know what God has promised is yes and it's amen. And Christ is the one, truthfully, He's the one who mediates all this covenant between God and His elect. He mediates the whole thing. On one side you have Christ, who is God, and He is, God was in Christ, the scripture said. And Christ is God, fulfilled all the conditions required for God to remain holy and yet save sinner. And on the other side, In this one person, Christ is man. And he fulfilled all the covenant obligations required of man. He obeyed in every precept the law, and he went before under the justice of the law in answer to the penalty of it. So that God is just and just to justify, to show mercy, and you and I, he's just and to justify us, and he's because in Christ Jesus we have really done everything that's necessary for God to receive us. Everything. Job, I want you to read this. Look at Job 9:32. We know what an umpire is. You watch a ball game and Will plays baseball. He likes to play baseball, and we go over there, and at this age right now, they don't even have umpires on the field. But time's going to come, and it's not very far away because it's getting competitive already. And everybody's competing, and everybody's that competitive nature's coming out. And there's going to have to be an umpire. There's going to have to be somebody that's going to represent both sides and bring both sides together. Job, in his trial, he cried out, and he said in verse 32, God's not a man as I am, that I should answer him. And we should come together in judgment. Neither, he said, is there any daysman. That word can be also translated umpire. There's no umpire between us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him. But it's not so with me. I can't talk to him right now because I'm afraid of him. But there is a daysman. There is one, Christ Jesus, the mediator of the covenant. And he laid his hand upon God. That is, he fulfilled all the conditions required by Holy God. For God. He's God in human flesh. And he laid his hand upon every one of those God gave him. He laid down his life for the sheep. He did what he did for somebody that God gave him. And he effectually accomplished everything necessary for them. He accomplished everything so that he brings the two together in harmony. And it's Christ himself who manages all this and who dispatches all this business of the covenant. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. For this cause, he's the mediator of the covenant, of the new covenant, the New Testament. For this cause, that by means of his own death, by his own death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that all those transgressions we came under in Adam, for the transgressions of those, he, by his own death, might cause us to receive the promise of eternal inheritance. All right, here's the third thing. And I don't want to scare you with 5 points. These last three are going to go pretty fast. Pretty fast. But here's the third thing. The effectual result accomplished by Christ, by our covenant head, is this. This is why he was given. This is the glory that belongs to him, that God gave to him. And this is what he does. Christ himself, who is this covenant given, he's given, verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's what everyone is whom God gave to Christ. They're blind, they're in prison, they're sitting in darkness in the prison house of our own sin-dead hearts. But when the Spirit of God calls us, when Christ, the covenant, is made in our hearts so that light shines, this is what He does. Isaiah 49:9. He said in verse 8, He said, I give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. They won't hunger or thirst, neither shall the sun smite them. He'll have mercy on them and lead them. Even by the springs of water, He'll guide them. This is the glory given to Him. He said, I've given you for a covenant, for a light of the people, to the Gentiles, of the people, His Jews, His elect among the Jews, and of the Gentiles, His elect among the Gentiles. He said, I've given you for this purpose. Has God made this promise in your heart? Has He shined this light in your heart? When you have this promise, when God makes His everlasting covenant in the heart, it's not just a, it's all ordered and sure in Christ. It's all yes and amen in Christ. When we are made to behold Christ, we behold the very essence, the very sum and substance of God's covenant, of His righteousness, of His holiness, of His every promise to save us. And we've got, there's some promises that are yet to be given. You know, He says here, I'll hold your hand. This is what He said to Christ, and keep you. God's promised to hold the hand of everyone He calls and keep us. And He's given this glory to Christ to hold our hand and keep us, to call us, to send the truth to us, to call us, to regenerate us through the Spirit of God, to call it, to lead us. And He's promised, I'll do that. And He's promised, and I'll resurrect you and give you glory with me. How do we know He's going to do that? If we have Christ, we know. If we see Christ, we know. If we behold Christ, we have the promise. We know. We have the assurance in our hearts. And He seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of this purchased possession Christ has purchased. Why does He save sinners the way He does? This is the fourth thing. First of all, He calls in righteousness. He called Christ in righteousness. Everything He does in righteousness. God saves in truth. That's the only way He saves. And secondly, Christ is that covenant Himself. He's the sum and substance of it. He's the mediator of it. He's the testator of it. He's the establisher of it. He's the one who is the covenant written in our hearts. When Christ is formed in us, that's when we behold all God's promises are yea and amen. And Christ is given this glory to open the blind eyes and to lead the prisoners out of the prison house and to bring us to Him. When are you going to come to Christ the light? When He says, show yourselves, then we'll come out into the light. We'll step out, because He doesn't say it in anger and judgment and like He's going to break the bruised reed and snuff out the smoking flax. He says it to us in the loving kindness of a one who's done everything for us. Come to the light. Come to me, He said. Come. You'll find forgiveness. Come. And all your burdens will be rolled off of you. Come and you'll have understanding. Come, I'll teach you. Why does God save this way? Why does God do it this way? Verse 8, He does it that no flesh should glory in His presence. He says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God's not going to share His glory with us. He's not going to give the praise that's due unto Him to us. If there's any one thing that I do to save myself, that's one thing too many that I'm trying to get glory for and take the praise of. All the glory and all the praise is to God and God alone. Every bit of it. He won't give His glory, His praise to any of the vain idols of man's imagination. He will not do it. He will not do it. He says, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." I love here from Isaiah chapter 40, all the way through the rest of Isaiah. If you can't preach Christ, you don't know Christ. Because it just on every page, every verse, every behold, and it's, he tells us, comfort ye my people. That's how it started. And he says, behold your God. Here he is. Here's all salvation. If you want to glory, you want to praise somebody, glory and praise him. This is another reason that's keeping us from Christ. This is what keeps sinners from Christ. We want to have some glory. We want to have some praise. We don't even understand that. We don't even really understand how it is we want glory and praise. But that's what men want by nature. Glory and praise. Didn't we do many wonderful works? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we say, thus saith the Lord? The Lord said in, I believe it was in Jeremiah, He said, these false prophets said, I didn't sin. He said, they come saying, thus saith the Lord. And He said, and they try to get others to believe that they might confirm their word. They make others hope that they might confirm their word. You know what believers need to confirm the word? The word. Because He teaches us in the heart. He gives us this unction so that we do have a cloud of witnesses. But as soon as the apostle got through giving us that great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12, he said, now consider Christ. Consider Christ. This is when we hear His word in truth, we know, because the sheep won't follow a false prophet. We know that's a foreign language. That's not the language of my master. But when we hear His message and His word, we know that's Him. That's Him speaking. And we follow Him. We follow Him because we hear Him. And we glory in Him because it's all of His grace that we do so. Here's the last thing. What assurance do we have that God's going to perform everything that He's promised us in His covenant of grace and His everlasting promise to us? What assurance do we have He's going to do everything He said He's going to do? Verse 9, He said, behold, the former things are come to pass. Has He done everything He said He would? He said, before they ever came about, I told you I'd do them, and then I brought them to pass. Can you see that in this word, that God said beforehand what He would do and then did exactly what He said He would do? That's assurance to us that He's going to bring to pass exactly what He says He has. He's saying here through Isaiah, somebody He sent with the truth, that Christ is going to come and Christ is going to lay down His life and Christ is going to be given for a light to the people, and He's going to establish righteousness in the earth. He's going to declare God just and the justifier, and He's going to justify His people from all their sin. And He's going to give the Spirit of life, and He's going to give light, and He's going to bring the captives out of captivity into His glorious liberty. And God brought to pass everything He said He would. And He's bringing it to pass right now exactly as He said He would. And we know it because of divine revelation. Verse 9, He said, new things do I declare. I declare them. I'm sitting here trying to declare some things to you, but I can't declare it to you. But when God declares it, He'll make everything new. New things do I declare to you. He'll make a new and living way to you. That's right. When we makes us to behold Christ, there is a new way to God. Altogether foreign to the way we thought we could come to God. Altogether different to how we thought we could come to God. And we behold that this way is Christ, and He's a living way. And we behold in this living way that all that other way was dead. It was a dead way. A dead way. Because it was of us. He makes a new creation. He speaks and there's life. If you go back and compare that first creation to the creation He makes, I think Brother Todd preached to y'all on that, didn't he? He preached about the first creation and the new creation. Compared them. Everything God did in that first creation, this is how He saves sinners. He speaks and it is. He speaks His word and it is. He makes it so. He makes us new. And He looks at it and He says, of everything He created, He is very good. Because He made it. He makes a new relationship. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. That's why the world doesn't know us. The world doesn't know us because it didn't know Him. He makes a new heaven and a new earth. This is coming. He's promised it. And we have all the assurance of the promises He's brought to pass for us to know He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells nothing but righteousness. And He's going to put a new song. Everybody that's going to be there is going to be singing a brand new song. And all this is by His declaration. It's by His divine revelation. That's how we're going to be sure. Here's the song, verse 10. Sing unto the Lord a new song in His praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit it. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Look at all those places that He just included. That means there's not one elect child of God that He gave to Christ, that He redeemed by His own blood, that He will not call. In all those places, He's going to make them sing and cry out with Him in rejoicing. And this is what He says to them. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His praise in the islands. Now do you see? He called Christ in righteousness. Christ is that covenant in whom everything is fulfilled. It's yes and amen. Christ is the one who is given the glory to open up light. He is the covenant. He is the light. He said, the glory You've given Me, I've given to them. I've given them the light. I've given them the gospel that they might know You. Why does He do it this way? That all the praise and the glory is His. He won't give His glory to another. And how can we be assured of it? He's brought to pass everything He said He would. And we'll know it so when He speaks in divine revelation in our heart and makes everything new. I pray this morning God puts His song in our hearts. We'll start singing a new song. All glory and all praise to Him. Let's sing a new song. Amen.